नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनते नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। So we have been discussing for the last many weeks from the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So in that, Krishna has been urging Arjuna to fight while refuting many of the arguments that Arjuna gave to not fight this battle of Kurukshetra. So initially he started giving the arguments of the argument that he gave was that you are not this body, you are the soul. So the soul does not die, the body anyway dies whether you kill or not. So therefore, don't take it very seriously, you should fight. This was the argument that was given. So this was based on the teachings of Sankhya. एषा ते अभिहिता सांख्ये बुद्धि बुद्धिर्योगे त्विमामु बुद्ध्या युक्तो यया पार्थ कर्मबंधम प्रहास्यसि। He says, till now I have spoken to you on the basis of Sankhya, why on the basis of the difference between body and soul, why you should fight. Now I will describe to you based on Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga is essentially, you can say, it is also Bhakti Yoga also and Nishkama Karma Yoga also. So he's going to the early sections he's going to speak about Bhakti Yoga and later sections he's going to speak about Nishkama Karma Yoga. So he says that that Neha Vikramanashosti Pratyavayona Vidyate Swalpamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bayat. In this process of bhakti, there is no loss if by stopping without completion, whereas in Karma Yoga it's not like that, or any other process it's not like that. If you start and don't complete, there is no gain. But in the path of bhakti, if one starts and accumulates, even makes even little progress, then actually you know, whatever spiritual credit is gained is accumulated. And then it is mentioned that pratyavayona vidyate, and there is no sin incurred by doing so. But in Karma Yoga, if you start and not do it later, then it is considered sinful actually. Whereas in Bhakti Yoga, if one who is qualified for Bhakti Yoga for some reason is not able to do Bhakti Yoga, it is not considered sinful. Just that he may not make further progress on the path of bhakti, but certainly it is not sinful. One will not get any sinful reaction for that. And one is delivered from birth and death even by practicing a little of this process, which means having started this process, even a beginner devotee, his subsequent birth is not due to karma. It is directly taken care of by Krishna. This is what we saw. नेहा विक्रम नाशोस्ती प्रत्यवायो न विद्यते स्वल्पमप्यस्य धर्मस्य त्रायते महतो भयात्। राइट, एंड देन वी डिस्कस्ड फर्दर इन द नेक्स्ट वर्स कृष्णा सेज व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिर एकेहा कुरुनंदना बहुशाखा ह्येनाश्च बुद्धयो अव्यवसायिनाम्। ही सेज दैट ओनली इन दिस प्रोसेस ऑफ भक्ति इज रेजोल्यूट इंटेलिजेंस पॉसिबल। वी सॉ resolute intelligence is one-pointed intelligence is possible only in the path of bhakti. In any of the other processes, resolute intelligence is not possible because there are multiple goals, as in karma, and one has to focus on different goals. And then there is also in processes like Jnana and Yoga, where there is single goal, there may be single goal of liberation, but In there is no, there is difference between sadhana and sadhya. Okay. Sadhana is different, sadhya is different. And even within sadhana, you have to practice some karma. If you want to practice jnana yoga, initial stages of jnana yoga, you have to practice karma. Then after that, you have to focus on giving up karma. Then you have to practice jnana. Then you have to focus on giving up jnana. And while doing all of this, you have to practice bhakti also. So one has, once intelligence becomes many branched, one has to focus on too many different things. But in bhakti, there is sadhana, sadhya, abheda. Sadhana is navadati, and after achieving perfection also, the perfected stage is also navada bhakti only. Okay. So because of the sadhana, sadhya, abheda, there is actually one-pointed attention is possible only on the path of bhakti. That is ekaha kurunandana bahushakha hi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. But the avyavasayi buddhi are these other people's buddhi is many branched. That's what he says. Then he, in order to bring out contrast between the devotee and those whose intelligence is many branched, especially the karma yogi or karmi, he says, what is their situation? He says, Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipaschita vedavadarta partha na anyadasti iti vadinaha. So here it is mentioned that that avipaschita, the unintelligent people, Vedavadarata, who are very much absorbed in discussing the Vedas, na anyadasti iti vadinaha. They propound the theory that matter is everything. Ultimately, matter is everything, and one has to just enjoy in this material world, and there is nothing higher than this, like that. Kamatmanah swargapara janma karma phala pradam kriya visheshulam bhogeshwarya gatim prati. Kamatmanah, with their hearts filled with unlimited desires, swargapara, very much attracted to enjoy swarga. Kriya Vishesha Bahulam. They speak about performing various different kinds of rituals. Bhoga Aishwarya Gatim Prati, for attaining Bhoga and Aishwarya. So, for getting a higher birth and all these kinds of things. So they become focused, you know. Bhagavatam discusses such people, the activities of such people to be is compared to maintaining a cow. So what do they do while trying to maintain a cow? It is mentioned that they feed grass and they milk the cow. And then they have to feed grass and then they have to milk the cow. If you don't feed grass, you cannot milk the cow. So they keep feeding grass and keep milking the cow. So in the case of these kind of people, feeding the grass is compared to performing pious activities. And milking the cow is compared to reaping the fruits of those pious activities, which is enjoyment in this material world, like swarga, etc. So that is their situation. So therefore, Krishna says, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhauna vidiyate. So for those people who are attached to enjoyment and power, bhoga and aishwarya, taya apahrita chetasam, whose consciousness is completely absorbed and deluded by this kind of talks, these kind of topics, vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhauna vidiyate. Resolute intelligence does not take place in the mind. It is not possible. So such people get, whereas on the other hand, vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. But only in this path of bhakti, vyavasayatmika buddhi is possible, like that. So therefore, Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, Nirdvandvo Nityasattvasto, Niriyoga Kshema Matmavan. So Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. These Vedas contain only subject matter which is within the three modes. Nistraigunyo bhava arjuna. So you should transcend the three modes. Nirdvandvo. In this way, become free of dualities. Nitya sattvasto. You can eventually become and eventually become situated with the eternal devotees, Nitya Siddhas. Nir yoga kshema, and become devoid of the desire for gain and preservation. Preserving what you have and gaining what you lack. And Atmavan, and be engaged in the intelligence given by me. So this is the instruction that Krishna gives to Arjuna. We saw that, you know, this has to be understood in detail. So we saw that Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Do Vedas contain subject matters which are transcendental to three modes? Because here Krishna is telling the Vedas contain only subject matter within the three modes. So we saw that this indicates primarily, but there are some aspects of the Vedas which do talk about transcendental subject matter also, which is pure devotional service, qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his dham, his form, his qualities, etc. Such aspects of there are also such subject matters in the Vedic literature, we saw. So therefore, when Krishna says Traigunya Vishaya Veda, it means primarily most of the, especially the Karmakandiya part of the Vedas are within the three modes. Nistraigunyo Bhava. Transcend the three modes means, we saw, it means to practice bhakti, because only bhakti is beyond three modes and devotees are beyond three modes. Nirdvandvo, in this way you can become free from dualities, and eventually by the practice of bhakti you can come to the stage of being situated with the eternal devotees, which is when you perfect bhakti, then you go to the spiritual world and stay with the Nitya Siddha devotees. Moga kshema, and be devoid of the desire for gain and preservation, because that responsibility is mine. Leave the responsibility to mine. I have already given you my assurance. Ananyas chintayanto mam yajana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahami aham. I will carry what you have and I will provide what you lack. I have taken that responsibility. You give up that responsibility. And be engaged in the intelligence given by me. That's what he says. So, we were discussing this theme that how it is not that the Vedas, by this he says one can understand that the Vedas deal with both material and spiritual topics. Topics involving the three gunas and topics beyond the three gunas. You should be devoid of the three gunas. Nistraigunyo bhavarjuna. This means mamekam sharanam braja. Mamekam sharanam braja. Just surrender unto me and practice bhakti. This is what it means. Because only bhakti is beyond three gunas. By following the path of nirguna bhakti offered to me, cross over the paths dealing with the three gunas. So in this context, we discussed, we did discuss how only bhakti is beyond three gunas. We discussed about, how knowledge of even absolute knowledge is sat, but knowledge of knowledge compared, connected with Krishna is beyond the three modes. And then we did discuss about even staying in a forest is sattvic, but staying in a temple is beyond the three gunas. Then how a detached worker is still in the mode of goodness, but one who has taken shelter of Krishna is beyond the three gunas. How even faith directed towards spiritual life is sattva guni, but faith directed towards devotional service is beyond three gunas. And when it comes to, there is sattvic ahar, rajasic ahar, tamasic ahar, but food that is offered to Krishna is beyond the three gunas. And when it comes to happiness, happiness derived from the self, where one is not at all dependent on happiness from any external object, but is completely satisfied with the self, that happiness is not transcendental happiness. That happiness is happiness within three more, which is sattvic, but happiness that is found in Krishna by performing devotional service is only beyond the three gunas, right? So in this way, we saw that how all these are within the three gunas, they are not beyond the three gunas. So only engagement in Krishna consciousness or bhakti is within the three gunas. Only that faith in pure devotional service is beyond the three gunas. Only a devotee is beyond the three gunas. All the other practitioners are within the three gunas. Okay. So in this discussion that we were having last time, we got into this discussion of, but we do see devotees also acting according to the three modes, right? So, but now you are telling devotees are beyond three modes. So how do we reconcile this? You will, Vahini Mataji asked this question. Unfortunately, I don't think she's there today, but hopefully she will get to hear the recordings. I said that we will discuss on this theme a little bit more today, so we will try to discuss. But this was the question. We do see you are telling devotees are beyond three modes. Come on, how are you going to defend this? Look around you. Don't be in denial. You will catch yourself acting within the three modes, and you will catch so many other people being pushed by the modes. On what basis are you telling that devotees are beyond three modes? And Shyam Mohan Prabhu asked, Are here Krishna is talking about Nirguna Bhakti. Is there Saguna Bhakti also? Is Bhakti within three modes, or is Bhakti beyond three modes? So these are various questions which we started discussing last week, but we could not complete. I will continue that discussion further. But before that, if there are any quick discussion points, questions, any others, I will take that first and then I will continue this discussion. Anything else based on what we discussed last week or what I have summarized today, if anyone has any further discussion points, we will take it now before I continue this topic of how do the modes influence a sadhaka. So that we will discuss. But anything else or anything connected to this, if anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. I will wait for a few seconds. Anything? Anyone? Okay. If there is none, then I think I will continue this discussion. Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
So last time, Ruji,
Yes, Prabhu.
we concluded that this Nishtraigunya Bhavarjuna, that means Krishna is directly telling Arjuna in this shloka that this is possible only to pure bhakti.
Yeah.
That is where we concluded on this last time.
Yeah.
So, when we say that this is possible only through pure bhakti, we are saying that this is a process, right?
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
this is a process. That means obviously that devotees initially will be within the gunas, and then when it is perfected, it will be off the three gunas, right?
Yes and no. We are going to see how.
Okay, fine.
I will agree with you. You're right in one sense. I will tell you in what sense you're correct. And I will tell you in what sense it is not completely correct also. So that's what is the topic that we are going to discuss right now.
Okay, bro.
Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would like to share, add, or ask? Okay, so we will continue this discussion. So I had started this discussion where, in response to Vahini Mataji's question, that you are telling devotees are beyond three modes, right? But I don't see it. No one sees it. Anyone who says that, you know, these devotees are beyond three modes, even at the stage of being sadhaka, you know, is in a state of denial, right? So you don't really know then what it is to be affected by the three modes. How can you be in denial? Can't you see? This was the point. So we tried to understand that what is it that the gunas influence? Okay. What is it that the gunas influence? We were trying to understand this point. We will go a little bit deeper into this. So the gunas can influence one's faith, pure devotional faith. Okay. So faith is something which talks in terms of right and wrong. This is right, this is wrong. So once we come to Krishna consciousness, you know, we have an understanding of what is right, what is wrong, right? So eating unoffered food, we know it's wrong. Trying to chant quality rounds, we know it's right. Inattentive chanting, we know it is wrong. Chanting and browsing, we know it is wrong. Hearing and dozing, we know it is wrong, right? Trying to please the spiritual master, we know it is right. So we have developed a particular kind of value system, which is where we have a clear understanding, or at least a fixed understanding of what is right and what is wrong. So that is faith, right? And then we know that, you know, if I mix bhakti with karma, jnana or yoga, we know it is wrong, you know, like that. But gunas, and gunas can affect this faith. When gunas affect this faith, it's this pure devotional faith. It's not that pure devotional faith is contaminated. Pure devotional faith is beyond three gunas only. Just like milk is non-poison, milk is sweet, milk is white, milk is tasty, milk is nourishing. Right? But when you add poison to it, if you add a black colored poison to it, that milk is no longer white, that milk is no longer sweet, that milk is no longer tasty, that milk is no longer nourishing. But is it that the property of milk has changed? No. Just that it is no longer pure milk. There is some adulterant that is added to it. Right? But still the nature of milk is still sweet. The nature of milk is still tasty, nourishing. Right? White in color. Right? So all of that is there. Milk, the property of milk has not changed. Similarly, bhakti is beyond three modes. There is no, you cannot say that bhakti is in sattvaguna, bhakti is in rajoguna, bhakti is in tamoguna. No. But that pure bhakti, along with that, you can add some adulterant to it. You can add some adulterant of karma, jnana, yoga. Then it becomes saguna. Then it becomes within three modes. Even in that, bhakti does not become within three modes. That karma element is rajoguni. That which is adulterating it, it becomes rajoguni. And that jnana element becomes sattvaguni, like that. So the faith of that person can be affected by the gunas. Faith means what? Conviction. Faith means conviction and understanding of what is right, what is wrong. That itself can be changed by the affect by the modes. So when the gunas affect the pure devotional faith, then one can get a different understanding of what is right, what is wrong also. So a person whose faith is mixed with karma, he starts thinking, his understanding of right and wrong changes, which means he says to mix bhakti with karma, which means to think that apart from bhakti, some varnashram is varnashram should also be under should varnashram duties also are compulsory. Okay, this understanding is wrong according to a person who has pure devotional faith. But when one's faith becomes contaminated, he thinks, yeah, yeah, correct, it is right, it has to be done. Varnashram duty is non-negotiable, he will say, which means he has contaminated faith. He no longer has pure devotional faith. Okay. So, or sometimes he may feel like, you know, if it is mixed with some jnana or some yoga. So in that way, the person's value system itself changes. His definition of what is right, what is wrong, it will change. Okay. So this is one thing that, that, you know, the gunas can affect his faith. Okay. And on the other hand, the three gunas can, I sort of feel a little uncomfortable calling it stimulus response system. So for now, please forget this, because stimulus response is not so simplistic. So I will not call it stimulus response system, because I will get into trouble. Because this is an incomplete understanding to start with, and it is incorrect also. Okay. But we do have, based on our conditioning, we do have particular likes and dislikes. These likes and dislikes are also shaped by the gunas, you know. So like, say, for example, something as simple as food, you know. So sattvic food, you know, plain moong dal with not much spicing, you know, nice, some sattvic tadka using ghee. Okay, that is sattvic, you know. Rajasic, you know, spicy vada pav or, you know, mirchi ka bhajiya or things like that. You know, it's rajasic, and tamasic is, you know, intoxication. So even though there is something which says right and wrong, and, you know, but something which our, based on our years and the lifetimes of conditioning, we have an understanding of what is, what we likes and dislikes. So our likes and dislikes are also shaped by the gunas, right? So, so these are the two things. So in the beginning stage for a sadhaka, if someone says a sadhaka right from the beginning, he is beyond three gunas, it is talking about his faith, right? But it is not talking about his swabhava. Like Shyamalal Prabhu said, Prabhu, we say bhakti is a process, right? So in the beginning, a person is within three modes, but when he progresses further, then gradually he becomes purified, right? That is what is, you know, cheto darpana marjanam. You know, it says by chanting, the heart becomes purified. We talk about, you know, the cleansing of the heart. So if you say right from the beginning it is pure, then what is getting purified? You know, that question arises. Yes, it is a process, and gradual purification happens. That gradual purification is the purification of the swabhava. Okay. So our conditionings get purified. So now, which means our likes and dislikes get purified. You know, even though we may have a like for something which is not very favorable for Krishna consciousness, but it gets purified. Okay. So this is, therefore, if you see here, this verse that Krishna says, Mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. What is the meaning of avyabhicharena bhakti yogena? Can someone share your thoughts? What is avyabhicharena bhakti yogena? Anyone? Yes, Shamon Prabhu.
Without contamination with karma jnana, pure bhakti.
Perfect. Pure bhakti. Yes, perfect. Huh? So pure bhakti, which is uncontaminated, pure, uncontaminated by karma jnana yoga, which essentially means also includes sattva, rajas, and tamas. He says, Mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sevate, one who performs avyabhicharena bhakti yogena mam, unto Krishna. One who performs pure, uncontaminated bhakti yoga unto Krishna, what happens? Sa gunan samatityaitan. He transcends, he surpasses the three gunas. And Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, and attains the Brahman, Brahmabhuta stage. Now the point is, first thing you are telling, avyabhicharena bhakti yogena. It is first uncontaminated by karma jnana yoga and by sattva rajas and tamas. And then you say that he surpasses the gunas. So the question is he, has he already surpassed the gunas, or is he surpassing the gunas? Because you seem to be telling both, right? You say that you perform Trigunatit bhakti and then you will become Trigunatit. Well, only one of it can be true, right? Either you practice Trigunatit bhakti, then there is no more purification, because anyway you are practicing Trigunatit or transcendental bhakti. Or if you say that by performing bhakti, then you transcend the three modes, then you are actually not practicing Trigunatit bhakti. Then, but here he seems to say both, right? Avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate yaha, one who practices uncontaminated bhakti yoga, which means the faith is pure. Okay, faith is unadulterated. There is no mixture of karma jnana yoga here or sattva rajas tamas here. Okay, when the faith is pure, then what happens? Sa gunan samatitya etan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Such a person transcends the three gunas, which means he will transcend the three gunas which are affecting his swabhava, which means anarthana vritti will be accomplished. Okay, I will just share some thing with you. Let me first search for it. I prepared this seminar on this topic of are we practicing pure devotional service? Some of you who have been hearing me for quite some time, you must have probably heard this seminar. I will just share some part of it so that you can get some idea. So let me share the screen. So we were discussing, are you practicing pure devotional service? So we saw the definition of pure devotional service. We know this, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnana shilanam bhakti ruttama. So he says that one should not have any other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. That is anyabhilashita shunyam. And one's practice should not be mixed with jnana karma, etc. And anukulyena, it should be for the pleasure of Krishna. And anushilanam, it should involve some activities for the pleasure of Krishna. So, this is the definition of pure devotional service. Generally, people think that, oh, then maybe I am not practicing pure devotional service. because I am not Anyabhilashita Shunyam, because I don't have, I do have other desires, people may say. Okay. And, but then there is mixed devotional service also, where the person worships, an angry person who is devoid of compassion worships Krishna with intentions of violence, pride and hatred. He is performing tamasic bhakti. And another person, he has goals of material gain, fame, etc. or wealth. For that he is performing bhakti. And there is another person who is performing bhakti with a desire for liberation. So this is sattvic bhakti. So someone may say, oh, looks like I sometimes practice sattvic bhakti, sometimes practice rajasic bhakti, sometimes practice tamasic bhakti. How many of you feel like that? Because how many of you are free? Some, you know, he says, anger, devoid of compassion, violence, pride, hatred, right? Sometimes, you know, desire for material gain and wealth, and sometimes desire for liberation means I want to be free from suffering of this material world. So how many of you think that you have such kind of intentions, and therefore you think that sometimes you practice sattvic bhakti, sometimes you practice rajasic bhakti, sometimes you practice tamasic bhakti? Can you raise your hands in the, you know, none of you feel like that. So everyone feels that you are practicing pure devotional service. Okay, let's see. Some of you are raising your hands. Anyway, so we were discussing that this theme of what is contaminated and what is contaminating. We will go over this, but I will just go through this one thing so that it will give some clarity of understanding. So generally, desires are of two types. Okay, so desires which are born out of one's value system, and desires which are born out of one's conditioning. Okay, so the value system means what is right, what is wrong, right? We discussed that. And conditioning says what I like and what I dislike. So the value system is called as Shraddha or faith. And the conditioning, you can say it's called as Swabhava. And generally, there is a tug of war between the two. You like to do something which is not recommended in the Shastras, which you know is wrong. But you don't like doing something which you know is right. Have you ever experienced this kind of a problem? You like doing something which is not recommended, which is not good for your devotional service, and you don't like doing something which is very good for your devotional service. Have you ever had this experience? You can please raise your hands. Right? You do, right? So many times, I think practically every day we do have this experience. Something we don't like, but it is very good for Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, you know, we like it very much, but it is not good for our Krishna consciousness, right? So we do face this tug of war all the time. So the desires which are born out of our value system and understanding of what is right and what is wrong, that is called as Abhilasha. And the desires which are born out of our conditionings is called as Anartha. Okay. Both are desires, but both are different types of desires. It's a different type of desire. For example, let's take an example. So desire to please my spiritual master. Can you type in your chat box, is this Abhilasha or Anartha? Is it a desire which is born out of our value system, or is it a desire which is born out of our conditioning? Can you type in the chat box and let me know? What do you think? Ilasha, right? some of you are writing Abhilasha, value system, Abhilasha, right? Yeah. Okay. Now, thank you very much. And be ready to type. I'm going to ask you more questions. So be, keep your chat box open. Next question. Okay, enough. First question is answered. Second question, desire for the opposite sex or lusty desires. What kind of desires are they? Are they desires born out of value system or conditioning? Are they Abhilasha or Artha? Right. So everyone says Anartha, conditioning. Right. Okay, next one more question. Desire to chant quality rounds. What kind of a desire is this? Is it an Abhilasha or an? Right. Everyone says value system, Abhilasha, right? Now, sometimes you feel, oh, I just wish that I want to slap that idiot, you know, like that. You know, anger or an angry desire to. Is this Abhilasha or Anartha? Yeah. So now, my question to you is, okay. Now my question to you is, can these type of desires, both Abhilasha and Anartha, coexist in a person? Right. Everyone says yes. Right. Now my next question. Do they coexist in you? So everyone says yes. Right. Now I want you to do a small exercise. Okay. Please. I mean, this exercise you have already been doing. Okay. How many of you segregate waste in your house? You know, wet waste, dry waste, plastic waste, biodegradable waste. How many of you segregate waste? Keep ready with the chat box. Chat box, you have to keep typing, you know, because we are doing an exercise here. Some of you don't. Some of you do. Okay. Any of you are writing, I do, I do, I do. Very good. So we are going to do that. So, please close your eyes, okay? And I am going to give you two bins. In that, I want you to segregate your desires in your heart, okay? So, please close your eyes and segregate these desires. I'm giving you one Abhilasha bin, one Anartha bin, okay? So what I want you to do is identify what are the desires that you have. Put the desires which fall under the Abhilasha category in the Abhilasha bin and put that which you are identifying as the Anarthas, but nevertheless you may have those desires in your heart. Put it in the Anartha bin and please do this segregation exercise. So I will give you 30 seconds. Whatever Anartha and Abhilasha that you have in your heart, please do that segregation and put it in appropriate bins. I will pause for a few seconds for you to do this exercise. Please diligently do this exercise. Okay, thank you very much. So I'm sure you must have at least, I mean, I know that you, you know, in 30 seconds, you cannot exhaust all your desires, either Abhilasha or Anartha, but I think that at least the prominent ones you would have done this exercise. So now my request to you is, pick up your anartha bin and hand it over to me. Okay. And keep your abhilasha bin close to your heart. Okay. So, hand over the anartha bin to me. Okay. I'm not going to take it, but I will just keep it. I will segregate it separate. Okay. So now my question to you is your heart, when I say heart, remember that you have segregated your anartha bin is no longer in your heart. Okay. You just have your abhilasha bin. Now my question to you is, are your heart beyond the three modes? Because desire to please the spiritual master is a desire which is beyond three modes. Desire to chant quality rounds is beyond three modes. Desire to chant attentively is beyond three modes. Desire to please the devotees is beyond three modes. So is your heart beyond three modes? You can type your answers in the chat box. At least those of you who are answering yes. Right? So now, this is what Rupa Goswami says, that pure bhakti is anya abhilasha shunyam. It is free of these kind of desires, which you call as abhilasha, which are born out of your value system, that should be beyond three modes. But he does not say anya anartha shunyam. He does not say that your anarthas, you should be free of desire for, you must be free of lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion and pride. Only then you are practicing pure devotional service. He does not say that. Right. So, while practicing bhakti, anartha nivritti happens. So, when you practice anyabhilashita shunya bhakti, gradually by the practice of bhakti, anartha nivritti happens. Right. So, therefore there is a difference between mixed devotional service and what is practiced by Vaidhi sadhakas. We are sadhakas, right? Like Vahini Mataji was making the same point. Sadhakas seem to be affected by the three modes. So how do you explain this? You are telling that sadhakas are beyond three modes. So what is the difference between mixed devotional service and pure devotional service? Okay. Performing devotional service with some material desires in the form of anarthas, this is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which is especially before Nishta, which is while in the Anartha Navritti stage. We do perform devotional service with material desires. This is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But mixed devotional service is performing devotional service for fulfilling those material desires. You know, we may have some lusty desires, but do we pray to Krishna to fulfill those lusty desires? We may have material desires, but do we pray to Krishna to remove those desires or fulfill those desires? That is what differentiates a Vaidhi Sadhaka from a mixed devotee. A Vaidhi Sadhaka also has material desires. A mixed devotee also has material desires. Whereas a Vaidhi Sadhaka thinks that this is inappropriate and I want Krishna to remove this desire from my heart. Whereas a mixed devotee thinks this is all right. This is a valid desire and Krishna should fulfill that desire. You see, both have this desire, but one thinks it's an anartha and it should be cleansed, and another thinks that it is abhilasha and it should be fulfilled. Right? So therefore, if you see, there are many statements from the Shastras which indicate that actually these two kinds of things coexist. So I will take some examples where I mean, this is a long discussion, but I will just maybe take some examples. Okay. Here, Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in his commentary to this verse, this is a whole different theme in itself. I am just touching some parts. I am not going to do it elaborately. He says, vasanas or samskaras, impressions are means by which experiences of previous lives stay with the jiva life after life. This is vasanas or material impressions, right? Under certain conditions, the impressions activate, creating the memory of previous like or dislike. As soon as you look at a rasgulla, you start salivating, right? How? Because you have had a previous experience of eating a rasgulla and enjoying it. So as soon as you look at that rasgulla, he says, under certain conditions, the impressions activate. So here the condition is vision. The sight of that rasgulla has activated the impression of creating a previous memory of like or dislike. So suddenly it was likable, so desires appear. So desires immediately appear and thus the jiva acts. So even though vasanas or impressions are powerful to instigate the jiva to action, they do not make the jiva powerless to make choice. Okay. So choices are made by the jivas based on an understanding of what is right and wrong. Whereas when the jiva is acting purely based on the platform of likes and dislikes, then that is not really exercising his free will or exercising his choice, right? Free will of the jiva exists along with his experience of vasanas. So there are two things. There is free will of the jiva and there is vasanas. The vasanas push the jiva to accept what is likable and reject what is not likable. Whereas free will of the jiva is exercised when he performs things which are right and rejects things which are wrong. Okay. So free will means to act on the platform of one's value system. Whereas to helplessly act based on one's likes and dislikes is actually not exercising free will. It is actually being forced by the three modes to act. Okay. So this enables the jiva to choose the advice of the scripture over his material desires. Okay. So there is material desires which push him in the direction of likes and dislikes. And then there are scriptures which say, no, no, this is right, this is wrong. Act like this, don't act like this, like that. Another example we will take. Arjuna says, famous verse, you all know this, right? Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Arjuna says, Ata kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichan api varshneya baladiva niyojitaha. So Arjuna is asking Krishna, O Krishna, Ata kena prayuktaha, what is it that is pushing me? Purushaha papam charati. What is it that is pushing a man to engage in sin? Anichanapi, even though unwilling. Baladiva niyojitaha, as if pushed by force. Okay. Now, please keep your chat box open. Please keep your chat box open. I want you to answer a few questions. Can you identify a few words from the verse which indicate the influence of conditioning or anartha? Or identify the words which Arjuna is using here in this verse which indicate the influence of conditioning. Look at it Very good. Vrajradi Mataji says papam. Definitely papam indicates conditioning, right? Actually not. Because papam, I will explain why. Papam indicates his value system. Because papam indicates that which is wrong. So, papam indicates a value judgment that this is not correct. I should not be doing it. Someone says anichan. Anichan also indicates value. I am unwilling to do it. Why? Because I know it is wrong. Who says the scriptures say that it is wrong? The scriptures say that it is wrong. I don't want to do it. But he says prayuktaha. Prayuktaha means pushing. Niyojitaha. Baladiva niyojitaha. I am pushed. This indicates conditioning. Right? Lust is pushing me. I don't want to act in this way, but lust is pushing me. So, don't you like lust? Don't you like acting out of lust? Yes, I like. Then why don't you act? Oh, because I'm unwilling to act. But you just said you like. Then why are you unwilling? Unwilling because I know it's wrong. Right? So anichan indicates his value system. Papam. The usage of the word papam indicates that it is wrong. This indicates value system. But he says, baladiva niyojitaha, but someone is pushing me to act in that way. What is that? Conditioning. Which is what Arjuna says, kamayesha krodayesha rajoguna samudbhavan mashano mahapapma vidyena miha vairinam. Okay. So, like that, there are so many verses where again, please keep your chat box open. So this is, we are discussing Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. This is the third Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enam mam upayantite. He says, dadami buddhi yogam. Krishna says, I give intelligence to that person. To which person? Tesham, to those people. Satata yuktanam means to those who desire, constantly desire to be with me. So such people constantly desire to be with me. And bhajatam priti purvakam. Worship me with great love. Okay. So they constantly desire to Krishna. Point to be noted. They worship Krishna with great love. Point to be noted. Yena mam upayantite. I give them the intelligence by which they can attain that association with me. Okay. Now, in the very next verse, Krishna says, Tesham. Tesham means those. Here, those indicates whom? That is my question. Can you please type in the chat box? Those indicates whom? I will wait for your answer. Tesham. He is continuing that verse in the next verse. Tesham indicates whom? Can you please type in your chat box? It says Vaidhi Sadhaka. Okay. Buddhi Yoga practitioner. Okay. Yes. Vrajradeva Mataji says Bhajatam Pritipurvakam. That was mentioned in the previous verse, right? Those mentioned in previous verse, Shyamlal Prabhu says, yes, right. Yeah, those who desire to worship, Prasanna Kumari Mataji says, yes, right. That which is mentioned in the previous verse, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, they constantly desire to be with me, and Bhajatam Preti Purvakam, those who worship me with great love. He's talking about them. Okay. So, such people, what does Krishna say? Tesham Eva Anukampartam, to show favor to them. Aham Agyanajam tamaha nashayami. I extinguish the darkness born out of ignorance with the shining not of lamp of knowledge. Now my question is, these are devotees who are satata yuktanam, they constantly desire to be with Krishna. Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, they worship Krishna with great love. Now my question to you is, where did this Agyanajam Tamaha come? Krishna says, out of compassion, I will destroy the darkness born out of ignorance within their heart. Where is it coming from? Is Krishna talking about two different persons or the same person? Because Krishna did describe this person as Satata Yuktanam, he constantly desires to be with Krishna. And Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, he worships Krishna with great love. Then he is again describing that person to have Agyanajam Tamaha. He has darkness born out of ignorance. Is he talking about two different people or is he talking about the same person? Okay, someone says same person. Yes, yeah. I think I asked two different questions and devotees are answering two different questions here. Yes. So Agyanajam Tamaha talks about his conditioning. And Satata Yuktanam and Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, it indicates what? It indicates what? So Satata Yuktanam and Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, a constant desire to be with Krishna and to worship Krishna with great love, it indicates what? Yes, value system, right? Someone says value system. Abhilasha, correct. That is also right. So, yeah, that indicates his value, right? Now you see, let's see what Baldevidya Bhushan talks about it. Baldevidya Bhushan says, since they have been existing in the darkness of ignorance for such a long time, how is it possible that you can illuminate their hearts? Because Krishna says, right? Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. But someone may ask, oh, but they have been staying in this material world for such a long time. They have a lot of material vasanas in their heart. What will happen? So now, please hear this sentence. This point is one long sentence. Okay, this is one sentence. But hear carefully. Okay, and keep your chat box open. And I will ask you a question. You have to answer it. Please be ready. But attentively hear this statement that I am going to read now. And then I will ask a question. You have to type in the chat box. I will read now. This is Krishna's answer. Krishna says, for those who cannot maintain their lives without me. Okay, point to be noted. Very important point to be noted. So they cannot maintain their lives without Krishna. For my unalloyed devotees. Very important point to be noted. They are unalloyed devotees. Okay. Since they are worthy objects of my mercy, I, situated with attachment for the soul, like a bee in the lotus flower, reveal in the Atma my dazzling form and qualities. I reveal in that person's heart my dazzling form and qualities. And now, very important point, please note, destroy darkness in the form of desires for objects other than myself, born out of ignorance in the form of beginningless karma which covers knowledge. Here, this is a very important point I want you to note. He is telling that, first thing, they cannot maintain their lives without Krishna and they are unalloyed devotees. Unalloyed what? Can you type in the chat box, what is the meaning of unalloyed? What is the meaning of unalloyed? Who is an unalloyed devotee? Pure desire, okay. Anya Bilashita, very good. Anything else? Anya Bilashita Shunyam, without contamination, without desires. But you see no other desire other than Krishna. Okay, Keshav Nimai Prabhu says, Shyamlal Prabhu says, pure Abhilasha. Now you see here the third point. He says he's an unalloyed devotee. He cannot maintain his life without Krishna. He says, I destroy the darkness in the form of desires for objects other than myself. So on one side he says, he is unalloyed. And on the other hand he says, but he has some desire for objects other than Krishna. Now my question to you is Krishna talking about two different persons or same person? Same, someone says. Same. Everyone says same. Now my question is, how can they coexist? On one hand, Krishna says he's an unalloyed devotee, and on the other hand, he says, I destroy the desire for objects other than myself. So then how is he unalloyed? If he's talking about the same person, how can these two things coexist? Now one word answer is over. Now you have to write a little bit more descriptive. How are they coexisting in the same person? Someone has already answered it, but you can write it in your own words, your own understanding. Yeah, Loknath Prabhu says unalloyed faith. Correct? But faith is unalloyed, then it's not a complete sentence. Can you complete it? Unalloyed Abhilasha, but impure Anarthas. Perfect. Unalloyed Abhilasha, but impure Anarthas. Both can coexist. Another devotee also says both Abhilashas and Anarthas can coexist, right? So this is, he is describing a sadhaka actually. So a sadhaka has pure Abhilasha, but he can have impure Anarthas. So they can actually coexist in a person. That's what he says. So Krishna says, being satisfied with their exclusive devotion to me, having the quality of being responsible for bestowing and preserving whatever they need, yoga kshemam, elevate their intelligence and destroy their ignorance within. I bear this responsibility. Okay, like that Krishna says. Okay, so now, anyway. Krishna also says, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. So he says, on one hand, he says, suduracharo. And on the other hand, he says, bhajate mam ananya bhak. Ananya bhak means what? He is most sinful. He is suduracharo. And he worships me. Ananya bhak means, bhajate mam ananya bhak means, he worships me with no other desire other than the desire to please me. Now, my question is, how can someone who has no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna, who knows very well that to act sinfully does not please Krishna, but he is still acting sinfully? Is it possible? Is Krishna talking about two different persons, or is he talking about one person? So the point is, he's talking about one person only, right? He's talking about the same person. It is possible. He's talking about the same person. So let's see what Krishna says. Sadureva samantavya. Sadureva samantavya. I consider that person my devotee. Samyak vavasito hisaha. As he has fixed himself completely in me, Krishna says. So I will read Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur's explanation of this verse. Very important. Please hear carefully. My attachment to my devotee is my very nature. That attachment does not decrease even if the devotee commits wrong, for I make him come up to the highest standard. So now he is explaining who is a Sudurachari. If someone with bad conduct, what is bad conduct? Sudurachara, he says, addicted to violence. Okay, addicted to thievery. Okay, addicted to adultery. Okay, now this is like lot actually. If he worships me and worships no one except me and does not follow any other process like karma or jnana, and he has no other desire other than my desire, Ananya Bhav, he has no other desire other than my desire, he is my devotee, sadhu. But he may be addicted to violence, thievery, adultery, which are part of his conditioning. But in terms of Abhilasha, he is Ananya Bhak. So Ananya Bhak indicates his Abhilasha, whereas Sudurachari indicates his conditioning. So someone may say, but considering his bad conduct, how is he a devotee? How can a devotee have bad conduct? Krishna says, he is to be respected as a devotee because of his devotee qualities. It is a command. Not doing so is offense. My order is the authority, Krishna says. So he is, because of his devotee qualities, you may say, oh, well, what devotee quality? You know, Sudurachari is the devotee quality. Okay, worshipping you is devotee quality. But performing thievery, adultery is the devotee quality. So then he says, so then the next objection that he raises, okay, let me try to understand. He says, so he should be considered a devotee in that portion where he worships you and as a non-devotee in that portion where he commits adultery, right? So this is the argument. He says, yes, dekho, whenever he commits adultery, he is a non-devotee. Whenever he worships you, he is a devotee. That is the understanding, right? Krishna says, no, he should be considered a devotee in all his parts. You should not see his bad qualities at all. Don't see his bad qualities. Why? Because the process that he is practicing will purify his bad quality. He is completely convinced. Samyak vyavasitaha. So what is the meaning of complete conviction? He says, he makes a splendid resolution. I will go to hell for my sinful actions, which are very hard to give up. I am not able to give up my sinful actions. But I will not give up dedicated worship of Krishna. He says, I am not able to give up my sinful habits, but I will not give up my dedicated worship of Krishna. Like that. So this is what he says, you know. So they actually do coexist. So the point is, this all comes from Vahini Mataji's question that, oh, how do you say that devotee is beyond three modes and he is still acting within three modes? So yes, his conditioning is samyak vyavasitaha. This conviction is a conviction which is beyond three modes. Okay. And I will go to hell for my sinful actions. These sinful actions indicates a conditioning which is within three modes. Okay. They do coexist in a sadhaka. So as Shyamalal Prabhu said, gradual purification, right? Yes, gradual purification of conditioning. But from the beginning only, the conviction has to be pure. The conviction can be pure weak. That's okay. It from the beginning, that conviction may not be strong, but it has to be pure. That is the point. So then some more point I will, of course, there's a lot of things I would like to. This is one point, another point I will try to make here. I want you to notice here. So Krishna says that lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hi udahritam. Okay. Udahritam, it is said, lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya. This is the quality of bhakti which is beyond the three modes. Nirgunasya bhakti yogasya lakshanam. These are the symptoms of nirguna bhakti, he says. Which is characteristics of pure bhakti which is beyond three modes, Krishna says. I am not going through the whole verse because that is not relevant for our point of discussion. Okay. Then in the very next, in the one verse later, he says, Sayeva Bhakti Yoga Kya Atyantika Udahata Yenati Vrajya Trigunam Mad Bhava Yopapadyate. So he says, this highest state of existence is called as Bhakti Yoga, which he described as Nirguna Bhakti. He says, Yena Ativrajya Trigunam. By practicing Nirguna Bhakti, he says, one surpasses the three gunas. Right? So you see that this comes constantly in the Shastras. You practice Nirguna Bhakti to overcome the three modes, which means Nirguna Bhakti means the faith is beyond the three modes. And then in the same breath, when he says, overcome, one overcomes the three modes, it means three modes in his swabhava, the conditioning. Okay. This, you know, of course, you know, like, you know, these kind of course, this is a very long presentation. I think in our, we did this presentation or discussion in our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu discussion also, and it took us almost 7-8 sessions to complete this whole presentation with a lot of Q&A like that. So the point is, we were discussing about this path of where Krishna is instructing Arjuna. Raigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Matmavan. Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. Be beyond the three modes. We saw that beyond the three modes means only pure devotional service. So we saw that anyone who is practicing pure devotional service is beyond the three modes. And he said, really, how do we understand? And in that context, we were discussing how do the modes influence a sadhaka? We were discussing on this theme, and on this theme, we were discussing all these various things. So now, I'm sorry. Oh, I thought I had shared the screen, but I realized I had not shared the screen. So just hold on. I have too many slides open. So this is where we ended our discussion. Okay. Of course, we have discussed a lot of things. Any quick comments, discussion points based on what is discussed now? Yes, there is one hand up, Lokanath Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
That you said that Abhilasha are pure desires, contrast to Anartha. So is it dictionary definition of Abhilasha, or is it given by our Acharya that Abhilasha are pure desires?
Well, this is definitely none of these. Our acharyas don't use many times they don't this is not definitely a dictionary definition. This is the explanation that is given by our acharyas. So because Abhilasha in a very generic sense can mean general desires also, but when the way Srila Rupa Goswami uses the way he does the word Abhilasha means desires which are born out of one's value system. The cherished desires of the heart. That's what he defines as Abhilasha. And not the desires which are born out of our conditionings. But this is Rupa Goswami's definition. And throughout Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami coins his own definitions. And he does not use dictionary definitions there like that.
Like when he uses the word anabhilashita, so the one devotee was explaining that abhilashita is different than abhilasha. So you are differentiating.
Yeah.
So apart from the shloka, has he given commentary also of what he about his the shlokas? Like when he says Abhilashita Shunyam, does he define what he's saying, that these are pure desires and not material desires or anarthas?
Yeah. If you read the commentary, long commentary is there. He does.
That is given by, I think, Jeev Goswami, no? The commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Yeah, because because Rupa Goswami himself did write a commentary.
Okay.
It was Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even though it is attributed to Srila Rupa Goswami, but Jiva Goswami was very closely working with Rupa Goswami to compile Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So many of the proofs and other things that are presented in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu were actually given by Srila Jiva Goswami. So therefore, the first commentary that was written for Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written by Srila Jiva Goswami, and subsequently many other commentaries were also written. But Rupa Goswami himself did not write a commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
It is Srila Jiva Goswami who says that these are pure desires of Abhilasha.
Yeah, because subsequently when he is talking about Anas, he talks about it in a very different way. So this is not an explicit mention, but this is the understanding that you get. When you see how he describes Abhilasha, this is definitely talking about the desire born out of one's value system. This is definitely talking about desires which are born out of Kandi.
Okay, Bhujan, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would share, ask, add? This discussion clear about the influence of the modes? How do the modes influence one's value system? How do the modes influence one's conditionings, and how do they, what is the interplay like that? Okay, there is another question in the chat box here. While you can take your time to consult your understanding and present some thoughts. See, you don't have to ask a question, but I would request that at least you present your thoughts. You know, you can raise your hands and speak or type in the chat box, whatever you comfortable. At least the doctor's group, you can share your thoughts, what you have understood. You may not even have a question, but it would be if you can share your understanding. Because this is a very pivotal concept. This is an absolutely central pivotal concept, which is very important to understand the Bhakti Shastras. Because here, if we have a misunderstanding, then we will totally misunderstand what is pure Bhakti, what is mixed Bhakti, whether I am practicing pure Bhakti at all or not, what is it that I am practicing. All these misconceptions will come if we don't have a proper understanding of this very pivotal concept. Okay, while I will let you think for a few minutes, there is one thing in the chat box here I will take. Krishna's promise and the sadhaka's endeavor will transcend us to go beyond the three modes. Is it the right understanding? Yes, Krishna's promise and the sadhaka's endeavor, Krishna's guidance also. Krishna is giving a lot of instructions to, it's not that Krishna says, Krishna does instruct the devotee to perform devotional service. So that endeavor one should definitely do. So then Krishna takes responsibility. Otherwise, if one does not follow Krishna's instruction, then where is the question of being called a devotee at all, like that? Anything else anyone would like to add? Okay, so I think we will pause here. I will not take a new verse now, because it will become too, we have just hardly 1 minute left. So I think that's a good food for thought. You please think about it, process it, and hopefully in time when we convene together next Friday, hopefully you will have some discussion points, some questions, some thoughts that you can present. So, but for now, we will pause here. I have hardly 1 minute left. I will not take a new verse today. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your very enthusiastic participation in the form of questions. So next Friday is Gaur Purnima. So we don't have our, we will not have our Bhagavad Gita discussion. So I wish you all a very happy and inspiring Gaur Purnima. So please celebrate it nicely in the right mood. So hope Chama Prabhu showers your life with unlimited grace and mercy. And may you all progress very wonderfully in Krishna consciousness. So next Friday, we will not have our Bhagavad Gita discussion. We will have the week after that. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.